Jacobitz Wusterhaus, welcome to Amigoscopio.
Okay, thank you. It's very nice to be on your show.
Our first question is about your talk in the IFSC World Lab Congress, and it's, what is the trial that you will present in Istanbul?
We started a trial that is also supported and part of the work of the new working group of patient-focused laboratory medicine, and that's a working group of the EFLM, that's the European Federation of Clinical Chemistry. And well, we saw some importance in directing our work more towards the directly to the patients. And one thing of our work, one part of our work, is to do a questionnaire within Europe to see how laboratories report their results, if they only report to doctors or also report to patients. And the picture is quite diverse, that in some countries it's never done to report to patients. It might even be forbidden. And in other countries, it's quite normal to report directly to patients, and the patient takes the results to the doctor. So that's quite different how in different countries it is organized. But another thing is, we thought, would it add something to the quality of the treatment if the laboratory report the results to the patient? But most patients do not understand the results, so we have to explain them. And that's what we try to do, to send results to patients together with an interpretation, and to see if the patient appreciate this. That was our question. Do patients like this and understand this and value this, to get directly results from the laboratory with an interpretation?
What is meant by patient empowerment?
Patient empowerment is that the patient is empowered, gets by knowledge, and knows more of their disease, of what the doctor is doing. And when they have more knowledge, they are empowered to discuss matters with the doctor, and not only the old paternalistic way that the doctor knows best and the patient is only doing what the doctor is saying. We think that's an old model, and the new model is that the patient is more equal to the doctor, and that they together decide what is best, and that is called shared decision making. And the interesting thing is that patients, if they participate in this way in their treatment, they are more motivated. They do better understand what is happening. They participate in the decision, so they support this decision, and that leads to an improved treatment. And one of the ways to empower the patient is to send the patient the lab results, so they understand and they see what is wrong, and they can discuss this with the doctor. And the hope is that the quality of the visit of the patient to the doctor will improve if they have better knowledge. That's the idea. And there has been research on this, and it has been proven in different fields like diabetes and lung diseases that it leads to an improved treatment.
And what was the reason to start this trial?
Well, the reason was to check if this really works, if we can do a little bit in this patient empowerment idea, and to check if the patient like this. Well, it's already what we talked about. So that was what we wanted to see.
And is this related to your previous work on reflexive testing?
Yes. That's a good question. We did a lot of work on reflective testing, and we had an interview on this before. And we have now a routine, at least in our lab, and we have studied this. If we can add a comment for the doctor. And we have shown in other trials we did that this really improves the treatment, because the doctor, that is the general practitioner, is helped to understand the lab results. And they not always completely understand these results, so to say. And it's also a way to get guidelines implemented. If we know there is a certain guideline and the lab results following this guideline should be lead to a certain treatment, we can point to this and help the doctor to understand this. We have shown that this helps. So that's the same idea, to add comments to the lab results, but then for the doctor. And now we change for the patient. And one of the things that the same ideas behind this, it might be a way to implement guidelines. If the patient knows that a certain guideline applies to their situation, they might ask the doctor to apply a certain treatment.
And was it easy to start this trial?
No, it was very difficult. We thought it was, first I must say that it's not a routine in our country, in the Netherlands, to directly report to the patient. We have laws in place that make, that gives the patient the full right to see their results and get access to their patient records. That's all covered by our laws. So if they ask the result, they will always get it. But it's not a routine to send results to patients. And the number of patients that ask the result from their doctor is only very low. So patients in most cases do not see their lab results. But we thought it's very easy. We just send them the results and we only add a general comment. We don't give them advice, in the sense that you need this treatment or the doctor should do this and so. We only give an interpretation. And we thought that would be very easy, but it was not. We have an ethics committee. I think you have the same in the Argentina. And if you want to do a trial, you should get approval of the ethics committee. And they were very strict. They saw a lot of problems. They didn't like the trial. You understand of the ethics committee and the petty problems they saw. But we, in the end, we succeeded by, they were afraid that we would give advice. They called it advice. That would be not the same and in conflict with the advice of the doctor. So we solved this by sending our comment, our draft comment, by fax to the doctor, and they had to sign that it was okay. And only when they signed it, it was sent to the patient. That was our solution. And then the ethics committee had to accept. But we had not expected so many problems.
Would you like to explain more details of this trial?
Yes, a little overview of the trial. We recruited four general practitioners only, because we started it as some sort of pilot, but it ended up to be, because of all the problems we had in starting it, more like a full-blown trial. Those four general practitioners all included 40 patients. We have now a little bit more, even 43. We had first, in the beginning, a structured interview with the general practitioner, asking questions like, what do you expect? Do you expect this will cost you more time for each patient? Why do you want to work together with us? Do you think that the doctor's visit will become better? Do you think the patient will like this, etc.? The doctor will ask the patient in a random way if they want to participate. Then we get a consent form of the patient. we blocked the results for reporting. So the patient did not get results from the general practitioner. Most of the time, the general practitioner says, well, we have the results tomorrow and you can phone our practice. And then they phone and then they hear, well, your lab is okay. Or they hear, well, you should make another appointment with the doctor, something like that. But we blocked the results completely until they were ready. Then we added the comment, I did it. We send it to the general practitioner by fax. They should agree and sign. And then the report was printed and sent to the patient by mail. And then we had a structured interview, not me, but two researchers from our lab with each patient. So they are almost ready. They have done 35 interviews now in person and some by telephone. And then in the end, we have a structured interview with the doctors. And we have the first one tomorrow. So we're not completely ready. That's the trial.
Right. Would you like to explain more about the results?
Yes. So it's not a little bit preliminary results. First, the comments. If you want to do a little bit explaining why the request was done by the general practitioner, we have a sort of coding system. It's not so important, but we have a little information why the lab was ordered, like a control visit for a diabetic patient, something like these, or a checkup with cholesterol to see if you have vascular disease or something. So we have a coded system, so I know a little bit why the patient came to the doctor. So you have to explain this. You have to explain that what is on the report, that there are normal reference values, etc. And then I explained every test in short. But if you do it that way, it easily will be 2 or 3 pages. That's my experience. And then you have like a problem. An ESR is ordered, but you had not enough blood, not enough material. And then we do a CRP instead. You have to explain. You have to explain a little bit what is an ESR, what is CRP, why it's done instead, because it's on the form. You have a little bit explanation. So this all adds up to a quite a lengthy story. What do you say when you have a potassium measurement, okay? And there is some hemolysis in your material. Then we have on the report blood hemolysis. We cannot give a result. So you have to explain that, and you have to explain it in very simple language. Another thing that I learned is you need a little bit of knowledge on the side of the patient. The patient should know a little bit what a protein is or what a cell is. Otherwise, you are stuck. You cannot explain whole of biology, okay? But so the comments were about 2 or 3 pages. And the general practitioners thought that was very much. And they thought patient would not understand. But that was not our experience. Well, some other numbers. We had 43 patients. We have another thing I want to say is that the results often were quite normal. I think we from the laboratory do see a lot of results that are very abnormal, because these are the things that we are consulted about. These are the very abnormal things is what we notice, and we have to phone the doctor, etc. We are focused on the more severe pathology. But if you take random patients from general practitioner, it's all quite normal, okay? So the number of abnormal tests on each report is 2.5, and the numbers of tests are about 11 or 12 at average. So you have to say something more about abnormal results, 2 or 3 tests on average on each 4. So not that many.
Is it post-comment or results to patients in normal routine?
The results are from the interviews with the patients, and we asked how clear were the reports, and no one said it was not clear, and 3 said, well, it was in between. We had I have now results in front of me of 17, so we were halfway, and 14 said clear. So most of them thought it was very clear. I explained to you that I try to use very simple language.
That's very good. That's very, well, quite interesting.
Another thing I can add is that we live in the southern part of the Netherlands. That was an industrial province, okay? But not anymore. And they have not a very high standard of living here. So they are quite simple people. And one general practitioner didn't want to work with us. They say, well, my patients don't understand. They have hardly lower grade school, and it's kind of hopeless. But we learned that most of them did understand, and we're very happy with the report. Another question was, is it clear now which tests were ordered? And well, 12 said yes, and 3 in between, and 1 still not clear. The opinion of the patients about the contact of the explanation, and not good was 0, and in between 2, and good 15. So most of them thought it was okay. We said the background information. I must explain that we referred to websites for other information. We have something like Lab Test Online. Do you know this website?
Yes.
And we have also a website from general practitioners in the Netherlands with a lot of information for patients. We refer to this extra information. But it was our experience that patients hardly ever looked or needed to look or took the so the most of them didn't go to that website. Then a question, were you so sufficiently informed with all the information? And 11 of 17 said yes, and 3 in between, and 3 not apply. Another thing was that there was some objection or problem that patient might get very anxious of the results, and you made them afraid by directly confronting them with the results. And so we asked, were you anxious about the blood test before these were done? And 2 said no, and 4 said in between, and 10, this majority, said yes. And a question was, did you learn more about the test results and their interpretation? And 9 said yes, and 4 in between, and 3 no. That's not so, but the majority, yes. And yes, we asked if you phoned the doctor's practice, and if you then were reassured. Well, most of them didn't phone the practice and didn't get additional information. That's another experience, that most of the patient only phoned to the practitioner, to the practice, and they don't get a doctor on the phone, but only an assistant. And they say, well, your blood is okay. That's all the information they get in most cases. So now they get much more information and they are satisfied with that. For instance, what I said, an additional appointment with the doctor, and only 3 had an additional appointment and 14 not. So they don't get any information about their blood tests. And most important question is the last one, would you like this procedure again in the future? And of 17, 16 said yes. And only 1 maybe. So we think overall, our goal was to have a 70 percent positive result of all these questions, and we are now a little bit above 80%. So we think our goal was reached. That was the conclusion, that patients are very positive about this, this way to give them the results and give more information. All this was done by hand, and well, every patient, it goes faster and faster if you get a little bit routine with this. And I had sort of standardized comments and with a little bit of cut and paste and little change. But it is about 15 or 20 minutes on average for each patient, okay, to make this comment. And obviously this is completely impossible to do this in a routine situation. We have about 400, 500 reports a day. So if half of the patients want their results this way, it's quite impossible. So how to do this in the future? You have to make this, automate this process. And there is software available, like in Australia, to build these comments. And that's something we think of in the future. So it is possible to do this in an automated way. That's the next step.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. It's been a real pleasure to have you in Amicoscopia.
Okay, my pleasure.